Hour 3, Triple Option. You do a... No, we're not going to do that. Welcome back. It is RBKD, Rod Babers, the All-American, Brad Kellner, the do-it-all everything. The old soul, too. Knew all the Genesis stuff. Knew Phil Collins. Impressive. And me, just...
Not impressive.
Effortlessly trying to get through
Sweet.
This show here today. Kevin Dunn, we appreciate everyone who's been listening. Having fun. We try and have fun with ourselves and make fun of ourselves and do all that. Just stop. Just stop.
He said fun with ourselves. He didn't say
Can Rod and I say anything without you turning it sexual?
Whoa. I didn't turn it sexual at all. You just turned it sexual by bringing up that word. I just said, oh.
There's no Jeffrey Toobin stuff going on here.
Well, the BK Lounge at 6:30 will be an investigative report on Jeffrey Toobin. So thank you for setting me up for that.
That was a tease right there, and that was a setup. So we'll get to that coming up at 6:30. We'll get back to a couple things, including we'll talk more Texas football coming up at 6, give you a little bit more of a Baylor preview. But before we do anything, if you are a Texas fan, make sure you stop by the Randalls. And that would be in Leander, 3441 Lakeline Boulevard. You probably know that, Randall's. Till 7 o'clock, if you go there, you're going to see the Longhorn display, Coors Light display. Snap a picture in front of it. Upload it to Facebook or Twitter and use the hashtag Longhorns Made to Chill. Longhorns Made to Chill, and you're going to have a chance to win a $50 gift card to the UT Co-op. Texas fans, not really chilling right now. There's a lot of stuff going on. We got Bevo getting sued. And even more stuff on the Eyes of Texas today, courtesy of the Daily Texan, BK.
Yeah, I just saw a pretty funny meme, by the way. A buddy just texted me this. The AP Top 25 poll for Sunday practice rankings just came out.
Oh,
Texas
God.
Is number one, guys.
I bet.
So we are number one in something. That's a good laugh right there. But yeah, the big story of the day, we talked about it in the 3 o'clock hour. It was a great conversation. If you missed the podcast, go to hornfm.com and check it out. But we also intend on having great conversation here as well. So, you know, don't go anywhere right now. But the story dropped a little after 1 o'clock this afternoon that the Longhorn Band will not participate in this Saturday's Texas-Baylor football game. After an internal survey asking whether members would play, the Eyes of Texas revealed a lack of necessary instrumentation, according to a message to band members obtained by the Daily Texan. A quote from the Longhorn Band director Scott Hanna said, "Based on survey responses, we do not have the necessary instrumentation, so we will not participate in Saturday's game," end quote. So this is not a... Oh, they're going to be there on Saturday. They're just not going to play the Eyes of Texas. This is they're not going to be there at all on Saturday. So obviously the Eyes of Texas has been a big story dating back to the offseason. It became an even bigger story after what took place on the field at the Cotton Bowl a couple of weeks ago. And now it once again becomes a big story as the show band of the Southwest will not participate in this Saturday's game. Because of the Eyes of Texas. Rod B., I'll send it your way first this time around. Your thoughts on this story coming from the Daily Texan and the band's decision to sit out this weekend's tilt?
Yeah, I think it's another kind of failure, in my opinion, of the administration overall in terms of their approach to the Eyes of Texas, how to resolve the issue, if they even really address the issue. They should have tried to rebrand and reappropriate and kind of redefine the song. And I know that's tough. That's probably the toughest route to take to try to do that. But you have tons of resources available at your disposal. You could use LHN. You could use your marketing arm. You can use all these different things to try to. And all you were also doing construction on the stadium, changing the names of things over there on the stadium, which they did, by the way. It's the Earl Campbell and Ricky Williams Field, which is really, really cool. But I think they should have been farther in addressing the actual discourse, and they should have thrown themselves into the conversation, the discussion that is going on right now between the fans. And some of those fans and hopefully the student-athletes are having it too, but it's mostly going on between the fans. It's an issue with the fans, and it's divided up the fan base. I don't know how much it's going to divide up the student body, how much it's divided up the locker rooms over there on the 4 acres, but I do know that it has divided the fans. There's no question about it. So I thought the university would try to rebrand it, redefine it. They have not. They thought it would go away, and I think now they're getting the blowback, not only from the organizations on campus, but also from fans themselves. And remember, this started with student organizations, guys. This was a student organization-led movement about the Eyes of Texas. It expanded to the student-athletes. It expanded to the football teams and the basketball teams, but it started with the student organization. That's who Jay Hartzell met with, student organizations, not just student-athletes. Mm-hmm. And I think the fans have focused on the student athlete part of this, and I think now you're starting to see, no, this is a student organization thing. These ain't student athletes, these members of the band. And pretty soon, I think there'll be a story about student body deciding what they want or won't to do, or student organization, what they want or want to do about the Eyes of Texas. Yeah. And they didn't address that at all. Once again, their lack of vision, it seems to me to be grossly imbecilic.
I think you're right about that. They didn't want to address it. I kind of understand where they were coming from. Rod's right. They made the wrong decision, and they should have had a more realistic conversation. That would have been a tough conversation. These conversations where things are divided, for the most part, are tough. There are mm-hmm. some that you can look at. If you're coming from the middle, you can look at one side and be like, I'm not really sure what you're defending there. I think this one, it's open. It's open for argument, and you try and be adults about it. But I think they were worried that of even starting that conversation. And I think there's examples around the country with other issues mm-hmm. where you can understand why they were worried about that. Companies, organizations, people that have brands to protect are really scared crapless of getting into these conversations. Yeah. But if you're at a higher education and you're at a school like that, Rod's right. They should have addressed this early. They didn't, and they're dealing with blowback now. I'm not saying they would have got it right.
Exactly.
But you still...
You didn't try.
But why? If you're going to have those conversations now in the relationship, if we knew there were problems 3 months ago and we should have had those conversations, it could have only helped out to do it back then.
Listen, I'm not saying that I foreshadowed this. I did not. But I damn sure said months ago the band's going to get involved. I kept yelling from the rafters. Listen, the members of the band have reached out to me and told me that they're having the same conversations, that people don't want to play the Eyes of Texas. And I said it over and over again. So my point is this.
Well, you did foreshadow it, too. I mean, you won't say it, but I'll say it for you. You did.
And my point is, if I was hearing this kind of stuff and just doing my own research, what the hell were they doing over there? Because the whole point I was making was you have to address the symbolic issue over there, not just, and I know, you know, Jay Hartson did a good job with the issues, but they never specifically addressed the Eyes of Texas. And we know now because CDC, different plan than Tom Herman.
Yep.
All right. So we know nobody really specifically said, all right, what are we going to do about the eyes, guys? What are we going to do about the eyes? How do we sell the eyes to a different generation who now believes that it may have some type of racially insensitive origin? How do we sell them on, now this is also should be a source of pride for you? How do we do that? Ideas, guys. Because we got to sell them on it. Because if we don't sell them on it, then they're going to run with their own narrative. And right now, they've already ran with the narrative. The narrative is, it's racist, period. Whether it is or not, that's the narrative. And how could you let that become the narrative when you control the message forever and you let the message get out of control? That's crazy to me. You let it get here.
Yeah, it's a great point. And they thought that the other changes they made on campus, remember over the summer it was sort of a list of requests submitted by various student athletes on the 40 acres, and there was renaming of buildings on campus. There was a removal of statues. Obviously, the Eyes of Texas was the most talked about, and that was the headline. That was the request that garnered the headlines, I should say. But it was almost like the administration thought, okay, well, if we take care of all the other stuff, they're going to forget about the Eyes of
Texas.
Exactly
right.
Yeah.
But the other stuff they did was super easy. Like, it was outdated. Yeah, I mean, we've talked about it. Like, these building names named after horrible people probably should have been changed years ago. And some of these statues.
When I was on campus, when Rod and I were on campus, we would walk by, and our thought back then was,
people were protesting then.
I can't believe it's still around now in 98.
Right. Yeah. Nearly two decades ago. More than two decades ago.
Stick with the two decades.
Yeah, he's right.
No, there's no doubt. So they just thought, we change all this stuff and everyone's going to be satisfied and no one's worried about the Eyes of Texas. They went the easy route, and you brought up the word, KD, uncomfortable, right? These are uncomfortable conversations. We've talked about that a lot as a country, right? Whether it involves the Eyes of Texas or just the stuff that's going on around the U.S. of A. this year. Uncomfortable conversations, people don't want to have them, but sometimes you have to have them. Mm-hmm. And the university just chose not to do it. They sort of kicked the can down the road on this thing, thinking it would go away, but it really didn't. And it's become a huge issue once again. And that, now I don't know what you do moving forward, right? It almost feels like you're in too deep. You know, some of the great ideas that Rod B had, some of the stuff we talked about in the offseason that might have worked at the time, like, hey, let's get out in front of this thing and control the narrative and control the message of the Eyes of Texas. Well, that probably would have worked a few months ago, but now, because the band is now getting involved and because of what happened after the OU game and because everybody's so divided right now amongst this fan base, I don't know what you can do to sort of reel this thing back in and get everybody even close to the same page, let alone on the same page.
Yeah, I don't know. If you had for the football team, honestly, was really good, you could it'd be fine. I think you could get everybody back on the same page. I hate to say it, but that's the truth.
No, and it wouldn't have blown up like this. But Rod, it would have blown up at some point.
It would have blown up.
It would
at
have
some
blown
point.
Up with the basketball team,
right.
Or the baseball team, or something. At some point, this was gonna have to happen. This
no
was
question. And it's and
a
bad, it's,
a tough conversation. Like I said, in a relationship, you have that talk, and it's like, God, we really should have had this talk 4 months ago, and we both know it. Why didn't we?
Yeah, and let's be honest, it's gonna be largely the sports that have mostly African American athletes.
Right.
You're talking about your football, your basketball, your track and field. I think that's about it.
Yeah, baseball is getting better.
I'm just saying that because it's offensive to people of color specifically,
right.
Or those who it is offensive to. For mostly, it's been people of color, and the people, our white brothers and sisters out there who are deciding, you know what, it's offensive to me too. If it's gonna be if someone of color deems it that offensive that the racially insensitive origins of the song have basically gotten them to the point where they don't even want to sing it or be or take part in it, then I don't know how much that is spread.
Yeah.
Right? I don't know how much that is spread.
But you brought it up earlier. You did your own survey, right? And that it was split all the way through African American athletes. And I've gotten the same thing when I talked to them. So
they're split on it too.
I'm sure you've talked about this before. You got to be really careful when you put a whole race or culture or anything into a box. Black people are just like everyone else. They got their own brain and their own ideas, and that seems even split with that.
It is. No, it is. It's split with the student athletes, but I've always said I think there are a lot of people who are undecided about the issue. The truth is most people did not know about the racially insensitive history of the song.
I agree with that.
And I think now, and I do believe people want to be knowledgeable and they want to be educated and they want to be enlightened about it. So I think most people are glad that this is out in the open now, something being discussed. But, for those people who are undecided, some people have decided, I'm done. It's a racially insensitive song. I never want to sing it again. And there's a lot of Longhorn greats that you know very well. And they've told me, I'm not singing that song ever again. I'll walk out on that song every time. And there are some people that have said, doesn't mean that to me. I don't even know why this is an issue. It hasn't meant that for 80, 90 years. All right. So they're moving on. And then there are a third that said, I don't know how I'll feel about the song until it's played in that moment.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe I'll stand with the fans, or maybe in that moment it'll mean something different because now I have a new perspective on it. So I thought Texas should have tried to go get the undecided voter, and they never really tried to go get that undecided voter. They let people just stick to their guns in this debate. They never gave them more knowledge about it. They never gave them a more expansive viewpoint or perspective on things. We should have had kind of a little town hall on it.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
So they're waiting until January, right? They put this committee together to reveal their findings in January.
This country's going to be in January? Yeah. We'll be arguing over whether the election was rigged or not by then. We won't even have a real president by then.
We're not going to know who the president is in January.
The Supreme Court will have the election by then. Like,
but in terms of just...
Yeah, you think it's bad right now? It's going to be worse in January.
Come on, man.
In terms of just the university, though.
Yeah, you're right.
It's a full football season. It's a full volleyball season. You're into basketball. And oh, by the way, you've had graduation. Guys, that's the bigger thing for me, right? Obviously, this is a massive story because we're talking about Texas football, and that's a huge brand, and everybody pays attention to the Longhorns, whether they're good or bad. What happens fall graduation this year? You usually end the ceremony with the playing of the Eyes of Texas. Are they going to do that? And if they do that, are people going to boo? Are people going to sit? What the hell is going to happen there? I asked the question in the 3 o'clock hour. If they don't stand.
I've never thought about
that. I asked the question in the 3 o'clock hour, are we just prolonging the inevitable? You cannot have, forget sports. Not forget sports. We love sports. That's why we have jobs. Don't forget sports. But like the university beyond sports is tied to the Eyes of Texas.
Oh, yeah.
That is a huge thing for the university. You cannot have your school's alma mater be this decisive. Ooh. We cannot be doing a story every single week about who sings, who doesn't sing, who plays, who doesn't play, who stands, who doesn't play, or who doesn't stand. That cannot happen with your school's alma mater. So the question is, whether you agree with one side or the other, are we prolonging the inevitable? Like, at some point, are we going to have to get rid of the eyes of Texas to make sure this university can actually be united, or at least close to it?
I don't know. Or do you just try and swallow it and say some people are going to stand for it and some people aren't, and that's the way life is, right?
I mean, and that's what BK's saying you can't have. He's saying,
you can't have that, but I'm saying they may say,
that's the way it is.
That's the way.
And then it's ultimately,
same thing for national anthem.
Then it's not truly a unifying theme.
It's not serving its purpose at that point.
Yeah.
Right? Well, once LHN frees up some airtime, they're going to make sure that they get that town hall going. I'm having fun with them. They're light on personnel, so that they would rather have more shows.
It upsets me, though, because this is another suggestion that I had, right? Just kind of flip the narrative, redefine, rebrand, reappropriate, whatever. You have Nate Boyer, who has suggested to Colin Kaepernick to kneel during the national anthem, during his protests during the national anthem, to kneel as a more respectful way to protest, because they had a dialogue literally kind of along these same lines, like, hey man, I'm not going to agree with you to do that, because I'm not going to do that, but I will support your right to do it. I mean, I fought for your right to do it, and I respect your right, and in terms of what you
we
your
can
stance,
be adults and be civil
in terms of what your stance is, I agree with you, actually.
Yeah, right,
things you
exactly
say, I just can't express it in the way you're expressing it, but we can vibe on the humanity of the issue. And you could have brought those two guys in for the town hall meeting. You got lifetime long Emmanuel Acho doing book clubs with Oprah about uncomfortable conversation with a black man discussing race in America like nobody else is doing, and you ain't want to bring him on? You got Matthew McConaughey, who's all over the world talking about humanity and existential things because he's just a deep thinker. You could have brought that guy on. I mean, you could have brought all these really influential, cool people on. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
To talk about this issue and to swing an undecided voter, or to make somebody who's on the other side of the spectrum in terms of their stance on the eyes of Texas, to flip and go, you know what? Actually, I was against the eyes of Texas. I thought it was racist, but turns out you're right, man. It's actually, I think you guys are redefining. I think it means something
else.
We're
going to rebrand it, rethink it.
Or you could have some people who said, you know what? I support the eyes of Texas, who decide, you know what? No, now to me, I don't think I can support it. But at least we'd have been having the conversation. And we never had the conversation as a family. We just ignored it. And one of those things in your family that you don't talk about, you just ignore. And everybody acts like it never happened.
Yeah.
And it is a festering, becoming a cancer within the family. You know what I mean? And one day your sister blows up or your mom blows up and they bring it up and everybody's like, we probably should have talked about this, guys, like 5-6 years ago when it actually happened. And that's what's going on with the Longhorn family right now. It's like now the thing is festered. So it's election season, so there's no way we're going to resolve this now. Everybody's too tense. We're mad. We want to get on. We're angry.
It's an angry.
Yeah. There's no compromise now.
Well, and also the.
And wait till President Trump gets a hold of it, because he might. He might drop eyes of Texas somewhere.
I can see
and don't
that.
Be surprised. Don't be shocked by it.
Like I said, if it was in Michigan and for that fight song, if it was more of a swing state, he definitely would be all
he
over it.
He saved college football, so don't get it twisted.
Tribalism
he did.
Is hurting this country more than anything else.
Yeah.
And that's what we got with this right now. Is that people are getting on their tribes and on their sides, and when tribalists start to talk, they stop listening.
Amen, brother. Amen to that. All right, time for Raj Rants of the Day, as if that wasn't enough of a rant. We'll talk about Sam Ehlinger. A lot of people have talked about Sam and his play this year, and really the ups and downs, the turbulent play, very inconsistent and very schizophrenic, but he has been clutch when it matters most. So, we'll pay tribute to Sam Ehlinger, get into some nice news notes and nuggets, and my man BK does a great podcast with a football theorist, Joe Cook. He's got a really good piece that he wrote up at Inside Texas about Sam Ehlinger in clutch time. We'll explore that as well. All of that and more on Raj Rant of the Day right here on the Triple Option with RBKD right here on 104.9, 101.9 and AM 1260.
I'm as mad as hell, and I'm not gonna take this anymore!
Find out what happens when people stop being polite and start getting real.
You ain't keeping it real!
My God! Okay, it's happening! Everybody stay calm!
You've done it now. It's time for Rod's Rant of the Day.
Hold on to your butts.
All right, welcome back to the Triple Option with RBKD. Time for Rod's Rant of the Day. And I want to talk a little bit about Sam Ehlinger and his performance so far this year. And it's interesting, I was watching, I was actually talking to a friend of mine about Sam, and I was watching earlier that day. I'd been watching Nutty Professor. And I had told my friend, I said, man, Sam Ellinger reminds me of Eddie Murphy and Nutty Professor. I mean, he essentially is a one-man show at this point with Texas. He's the leading rusher. He's the leading passer. They don't really have much of a running game. Wide receivers can't really get open. The wide receivers that are the best ones out there, they can't stay healthy consistently. And I said, there is an entertainment value in it. Just like watching Eddie Murphy when he played, seven different characters on Nutty Professor, when he was the grandmother and the grandfather and himself. And
it was impressive. Clump.
It was unbelievable.
Yeah.
It just showed you the range and what a kind of just a great comedic mind he was, period. And with Sam Ellinger, although as a quarterback in the pocket, as a seasoned passer, I don't know if he's making the strides we want. If you're just looking at him as a football player playing the game, and I know it almost is him reverting back to 2017 when I used to call it the Sam Ellinger show. It's all him. I mean, the entire offense is just Sam Ellinger. And even the running game, we'll get to here in a second. It's amazing to me. Like I said, it reminds me. There's another great example because me and my friend went down a deep rabbit hole in discussing Sam. If you don't want to compare him to a great comedic actor, because to me it's almost like watching the Chappelle show or the Richard Pryor show when they'd play all these different roles, all these different skits, and just kind of show you their range. Right? Carol Burnett's another one, right? Just a one-man show, right? One-man show, one-man wrecking crew, one-man wedding band, whatever it may be, whatever term you want to use. That's Sam Ellinger now. But my friend, we started talking about Sam Ellinger in a deeper way because I said maybe that's a little bit insulting. And if that's insulting, I would compare him to Prince. Because in Prince's debut album, I think it's called For You, 1978, he plays every instrument on the album.
That's crazy.
27 instruments he played on the album.
Wow.
He did everything himself. He got into it with the producer. He had like a falling out with the producer. It's a great story and music about it. And he got so upset that he just basically I'll just do the whole damn thing myself. And he did literally the whole damn album himself. He's like, but Phil Collins actually has one of those too. Phil Collins did that before too. He's one of those got 1993 Both Sides.
He did everything.
That was kind of his one man band.
Did he text the producer to tell him he was doing it by himself?
I don't know if he was as passive aggressive as that, but yeah. Paul McCartney is also another one of those artists who has an album where he basically played all the different instruments, bass and acoustic guitar, lead guitar, piano, the organ, xylophone, all these different things, right? To me, that's what I'm watching more with Sam Ellinger. If you don't want to get the Nutty Professor Dave Chappelle analogy, then get down with just a true football artist at work. And even when the chips are down, like, he has not been perfect. And all Prince's songs on For You weren't all hits. Right? They weren't all great, trust me. But you will find a masterpiece in there every now and then. And I think Sam's got some of those on his resume this year. And, Joe Cook has a great write-up, and Joe Cook is a great football theorist. BK, you do the 1-0 podcast with him, and y'all do a great job with the 1-0 podcast. And he's a football theorist, and he had a great write-up at Inside Texas Today. Go check it out. I forget the name of it, but he's talking about how basically Sam Ellinger comes to save the day. It might even be Save the Day Sam or something like that, but it's really, really good. Go check it out. And in the piece, he basically looks at the final 5 minutes of the fourth quarter in overtime. And then he breaks that down statistically, and then he breaks down just the first three quarters of Sam Ellinger's play in Big 12 play. So first three quarters, and then, as he calls, save the day Sam in the last 5 minutes of the fourth quarter in overtime. So in the first three quarters, here are the stats for Sam. In Big 12 play, he's completing 54% of his passes, first three quarters, 552 yards, 5.4 yards per attempt, 6 touchdowns, 3 interceptions. Save the day, Sam. Finds a way in the end. Last 5 minutes of fourth quarter in overtime. 67.8% completion percentage. 233 yards passing. 8.32 yards per attempt. 5 touchdowns. 1 interception. His overall stats is just him 57% completion percentage. 785 yards, 6.09 yards per attempt, 11 touchdowns, 4 interceptions. He's just right around being, an average to above average quarterback. And in the first three quarters of Big 12 play, you could argue he's just a below average quarterback. But in the fourth, not even the fourth quarter, the last 5 minutes of the fourth quarter in overtime, when Texas, it seems like all the chips are down, I do believe something happens, and BK's brought up several times too. Number one, I think Tom Herman and the staff go, well, it's only one thing we can do now. We got to go 2-minute drill. We got to go hurry up. Let's abandon the running game, and let's just let Sam have it and let Sam sling it, and let's see if we can get back in the game that way. And you take a lot of the kind of the mental thought process out of the game for Sam, and then he's just playing football. He's just reading and reacting, which I think is when he's at his best. Almost you become like an air raid offense in the last 2 minutes of it, and Sam's at his best then. But then also, this is another thing that I'll point out because I love the stats here. Sam, your best running game is scrambling Sam.
Oh, yeah.
So in that last 5 minutes, well, you're playing,
passing
you're
play.
2 minutes. Yeah, you're exactly. Scrambling Sam. Like, not, yeah. not design running Sam.
None of that.
Not Bam Bam Sam, because that's design running Sam. I'm not talking about scrambling Sam. The key to save the day Sam is scrambling Sam, because that is your best, your best running game all year. Here are the stats for you. As a matter of fact, Sam Ehlinger is your best runner, period. This, he led the team in rushing in 2017. He's probably going to lead the team in rushing in 2018, the way it's looking right now, if these things continue, or he'll be right there in the running for it. But him as a scramble, he's become so effective. And this happened last year, guys, because last year, remember I broke the numbers to you guys last year, earlier before the season started. In 2019, Sam Ehlinger, he was scrambling more than any quarterback in the Big 12. He had the most scramble attempts of any quarterback in the Big 12. He had 63 of them. And we had a lot of mobile quarterbacks in the Big 12. You had Pump Fake Purdy. You had Jalen Hurts. No, nobody scrambled more than Sam Ehlinger. Now,
Duggan would scramble too.
Matt Duggan scrambled, but he did abandon more pockets, clean pockets than any other quarterback. He lost trust in that O-line. He actually had 6 more abandoned clean pockets last year than any other quarterback. So he got used to scrambling. He had 42 rushing first downs. That was the most returning for a Power 5 starting quarterback. And we know most of those came via scrambles. I mean, because they didn't really have a great design quarterback running game last year. Not as well as we would have thought. Not as well as it was in 2018. So you go look at it, and 2020, here are the scrambling numbers for Sam. He's got 18 scrambles for 195 yards, 9 rushing first downs. So he's got 12 rushing first downs. Matter of fact, you can look, he's got 34% of all the rushing first downs on the team. And 9 of his 12 rushing first downs have been on scrambles. Mm. Just him scrambling. And that Oklahoma game, I mean, you guys know the numbers. They were just crazy. I went back and tracked it again. He had 7 total runs of 10-plus yards. 6 of those came, save the day, Sam. Last 5 minutes. He had an 11-yard run, a 20-yard run, a 17-yard run, a 10-yard run, 11-yard run, and a 25-yard touchdown run. And he had 6 rushing first downs, 7 explosive plays. You're going to look at all the explosive runs the Longhorns have had this year. That's a 10-plus yard run. They've had 24 of them so far this year, UTEP game included, which I usually don't include that because that shouldn't count.
That's half of them right there, right?
And yeah,
right.
Now, Sam's got 11 of the 24.
Wow.
Sam is your explosive running game. He's got...
And there's ball security to go with that. Roshan's had that, but
yeah,
Keontae
that's true,
hasn't.
Point. 46% of your explosive runs have come from Sam Ehlinger alone. Most of those have been scrambles. 50% of your 20-plus yard runs have been Sam Ehlinger.
And that's not his game.
Think about that.
Yeah.
He had his longest run of the year this year with a 36-yard run. And 4 of your 8 20-plus yard runs are Sam Ehlinger this year.
With a 5-star.
Scrambling.
And then the junior Keontae, who we feel like is a home run hitter.
So that's why the save the day Sam works, because your best running game, it actually can peak at that time, which is, once again, the one-man wrecking crew, the one-man wedding band, Sam Ehlinger, going out there to save the day. So it's fascinating what's going on. It's sad, too, because, like I said, 2017, Sam Ehlinger is your leading rusher and your leading passer. That might be the case again this year. But 2019, he was the second leading rusher, but it was mostly because he was running for his life and scrambling.
Yeah.
And got to the point where he couldn't trust his offensive line. I think now... we've added to that. It's become exacerbated. He doesn't trust the O-line. Not that he should. But now he can't even trust the wideouts. He used to trust that the wideouts can get off coverage. Colin Johnson, Devin Duvernay would get open. Now he doesn't trust those guys and get open. The best wide receivers that he has, they can't stay healthy. All he's got is tight ends to throw to, potentially, Jared Wiley. So I think now you're getting scrambling Sam, not only abandoning that pocket, just like he did last year, more than any quarterback in college football, but he's abandoning the route progression quicker, too. And just deciding, you know what? I'm the best damn shot we got.
He's given up before they even get into the route because they're getting rerouted or jammed.
In fact, because when
one's gone,
When I stay
Two's
with him,
gone.
Katie, when I stay with him, I get set.
Right, that's good.
I can't make it through the progression because I'm going to get set.
Yeah.
I gotta go.
He's not wrong with that thought.
No.
Right, that I'm this team's best option to pick up yards. That's the right take.
Okay, so let me ask you this. I got to go check out Joe's article. Good stuff there.
Yeah, right? Go check out Joe Cookie's great article. And check out the One and O podcast, BK and Joe.
They do an awesome job. Do you guys have a new one
He's
out?
A football
tomorrow.
Theorist.
Tomorrow?
According tomorrow.
Okay.
Oh, I'm sure he'll get into this then. Oh, yeah. Sorry if I spoiled it.
No.
It's great
I heard
stuff.
Y'all talking kind of about this on the Longhorn Blitz, too, that was yes. on last
right,
night.
You just gave, him, kind of, yeah. you gave him easy prep. He's just going to tee up Joe on that.
Yeah, now. No, but no, I think all the football theorists, because Jeff Howe has his own. He's called the fourth quarter. He's talked about that with Sam Ehlinger and how different that is from the third quarter. He's kind of gotten on what you've gotten on, BK, about how Tom Herman has failed to make adjustments in the third quarter, and yet in the fourth quarter, basically Sam says, "Not to hell with it." Or the coaches say, "To hell with it, just give it to Sam." Yeah. Our adjustments don't work.
We're not good enough.
He's good enough. Let him do it. And that's basically what happens, either out of necessity or intentionally.
Here's my question, especially considering where Herman is. When you're trying to build your program and trying to build it in a certain image, you may not take the easier route just to get a W. I would argue you probably should if you're still building it. But he should be in emergency mode right now. Do anything, right?
Yeah.
Why doesn't he take the, I've talked about it before, the Brad Scott, Mark Richt 1992 approach to Florida State? They went to football on grass in Charlie Ward because they were down to Miami and they had to. They just recognized that this is the way that we should play next year when we start the season off in 1993 as the number one team in the country and we're beating the hell out of Clemson or whoever it was, right? Yeah. Why not go 5-minute Sam and save the day Sam? I mean, why isn't that your offense just the rest of the year?
I think
all the time.
I think it's hubris and ego, number one, because he doesn't want to admit. Then you have to admit you were wrong.
Okay.
And admit maybe that your pro spread system doesn't necessarily work the best.
Yeah.
Maybe it's not the right way to go, and maybe your philosophy's a little off. I think he doesn't want to give up on the traditional running game. The truth is, Tom Herman's pro spread wouldn't have a running game at Texas without Sam Ehlinger.
No.
Right? Led the team in rushing in 2017. We all remember 2018, right? That's the birth of Bam Bam Sam. In 2018, I'll give you some of the stats real quick about Bam Bam Sam and how unique he was. He had 33 forced missed tackles in 2018. 33 Jeez. Forced missed. Do you realize?
We're not talking about Michael Vick here.
He's running people over. 79.8% of his rush yards came after contact.
That's even nuttier.
Isn't it crazy? UT had 44 rush attempts of 3rd and 3 or less, all right, in 2018. Sam had 23 of those. He converted 16, which means he converted 70% of 3rd and 3 or less rushing attempts. You had 3rd and 3 or less, you handed off to Sam or let him run it. You had a 70% chance to pick up the first down, gentlemen, in 2018. Like, what how effective that is.
Yep.
He made him the best red zone weapon in college football. 59% of all of his touchdowns, passing or running, came in the red zone that year. He was unbelievable. 35% of all of his rushes were for a first down or a touchdown.
Yeah, that's why they were so good.
He was so good.
In one games. Possession.
Yeah.
Games, right?
So in 2018, he was actually 3rd on the team in rushing, but he was the rushing attack.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And in 2019, his scrambling was... So your pro spread, your rushing attack of your pro spread would suck if not for Sam Ehlinger's unique ability to either scramble or to be a short yardage demon.
Oh, it's frustrating.
Sam Ehlinger Show, gentlemen. Enjoy it.
It's good
Take
stuff.
Take a bow,
yeah.
Sam.
I know. And people still bash that guy for reasons I can't quite figure out. He's not played perfectly this year. I'm not denying that, but he has gotten zero help.
Yeah.
He's the least of our worries.
Exactly. That's a great way
it's
to describe
it. So one thing
it.
I think we can be very... Him, Joseph Osai,
We're not divided
and Sam,
on that.
Sam Cosmi, Joseph Osai, and Sam Ehlinger are the reasons we can be thankful this program hasn't completely gone off the rails.
Agreed. There's Rod's Rant of the Day here on the Triple Option with RBKD. We'll continue to talk some Longhorn football at the top of the hour, start to preview this Saturday's tilt against the Baylor Bears, but we've got Off the Record 2 coming up. 3 Central Texans have recently found their way into the Guinness Book of World Records. We'll tell you what they've done up next. Shoot, baby, shoot.
The bow-legged one.
Welcome back to the Triple Option with RBKD, an old school hip hop hump day, or an old school rap Wednesday, or a way back rap Wednesday, whatever you want to call it. But we got to give you a special message before we get down to our next off the record topic here. My man KD's got a message for you.
Get to Randall. Oh, there we go. Let's get the mic on. Get to Randall's, 3441 Lakeline Boulevard. That's in Leander. You have until 7 o'clock. Go to the Coors Light Longhorn display. Take a picture in front of it, upload it to Facebook or Twitter, use the hashtag Longhorns Made to Chill, Longhorns Made to Chill, and you're going to have a chance to win a $50 gift card to the UT Co-op. If you do a video and sing the Eyes of Texas, that could be a grand.
Ooh.
No, I'm lying about that, but the $50 is real. So.
Thank you to Kevin.
You're welcome, President.
Thank you to Kevin. All right, gentlemen, how about this? I got this from the Austin American Statesman. I thought it was a weird collection of stories, but I thought they were pretty cool. Okay, so there are some Austinites, but Central Texans, local folks, who set recent world records. Mm. I thought we'd get a kick out of talking about this. So John Henderson died last Friday at the age of 107. He was beloved by many. He held two distinctions. Locally, he was known as the oldest living Texas Longhorn football letterman.
Wow.
Having played in the mid-1930s, and he lettered in 1935 in his senior year. His senior year! Was 1935.
Leather helmet.
I wonder how he felt about the Eyes of Texas.
That's a good question. So he would have been there with Bible.
I mean, that's crazy.
Yeah.
Talk about being
Dana
in great
Bible.
Shape.
Yeah, Dana Bible.
But around,
and this isn't John Henderson, the Tennessee defensive tackle.
He had another distinction, though, gentlemen. Around the world, thanks to the Guinness World Record folks, he and his wife, Charlotte, were recognized for the oldest aggregate age for a married couple. The record was certified last November when their combined age was 211 years and counting.
Not three. Wow. Not four. Not five.
Sadly, how long have they been married for now? 80 years, I believe.
Something crazy. Sadly, their record was broken, though, this past August.
What?
The Guinness folks said that as of June 23rd, the married couple of Waldramina Maclovia and Quinteros Reyes and Julio Cesar Mora Tapia of Ecuador had a combined age of 200.
How many people did you just read off?
I thought it was Waldramina Maclovia Quinteros Reyes is one person. Then there's Julio Cesar Mora Tapia, which is also another person. So they have a combined age of 214 and 358
days. I gotta spice up my name. I need more names. I need more accentos. I need more tildes. I need more stuff.
That's crazy.
Dude, I don't want to live that long, man.
Wow. Yeah, I don't know if I want to live that long.
And then with one woman for that long? Oh, my God, dude.
Yeah.
80 minutes with one woman feels like a long time for me. 80 years?
80 years,
man. God bless
you. Is a lot. Yeah, they had to be in love, though, right?
Even if they weren't,
you get to like 50 years in, you're not going to make a change at that point.
It's too far gone at that point.
Well, yeah, I mean, you're just so used to it. It's just creature of habit and both of you.
Here's another Central Texas record holder, gentlemen.
Hey, quickly, can I say this about Henderson?
Yeah.
So I did the math, and I think they ended up getting married when he would have been like in his mid-late 20s. And back then, that's really late. That's like my mom telling me, you know, is this going to happen? You're in your 40s now. It's probably not going to happen, but I'll continue to tell you it will. But, like, remember back then, you got married early.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's true. Yeah, you get
married.
You're
going to be dead soon.
Well, yeah. Life expectancy was, what, 50-something?
Yeah, I got to get married. I'm about to hit 30.
Get married. I'm at mid-age at 25.
I got 20 years left.
My grandma got married at 12.
Did she really?
No.
Okay. All right.
I'm glad
not a real story.
Is she from Mississippi or something? anyway, all right. How about this, guys? Another Central Texas. Here, these folks are from San Marcos. The oldest person to tandem parachute jump is Alfred L. Blaschke. Born
his
in January.
Al? And his first name was Alfred?
I think that's just what they call him.
Oh, okay.
Yeah,
January 4th, 1917, he was born. He was 103 years old and 181 days as verified in San Marcos, Texas on July 2nd, 2020.
103-year-old guy skydived?
I guess somebody strapped to him, but yeah, he basically jumped out of a plane.
Oh, my God.
Wow.
I wonder if he was inspired by former President Bush.
What?
The first Bush.
Oh, that jumped out of the plane?
He used to do that on his birthday every year.
Oh, did he really?
He would skydive. He was like 90 and doing that.
I didn't know that.
Yeah.
That's
pretty
cool.
Impressive.
Help, I've fallen and I can't get up.
See, that's the biggest worry. So what gets old people more than anything?
Broken stuff.
Syphilis. No, it's not syphilis. I'm kidding. No, broken hips usually, yeah, right? A broken hip, yeah. And then all of a sudden...
Anything broken as an old person.
You go in the hospital, yeah. And it's all downhill.
You get like an infection or something in the hospital or something. No, I'm with you on that. All right, another world record holder. How about this one, gentlemen? This comes from a local young lady who is in the record books with the longest legs for a female and the longest legs for a female teenager. Those categories are not to be confused with the Guinness listings for longest leg hair and longest leg hair for a female. It's crazy. She's in Cedar Park. Her name is Macy Curran.
There's a longest female hair leg?
Dude, you got to go get the Guinness Book of World Records. That's a record for everything.
I used to love these things.
Nose length for nose hair length for pubic hair length. There's a record for everything.
I'm guessing they got
toenail length.
I'm guessing they got the female hair length in Berkeley.
it was a hippie. You know,
had a lot to choose from.
17-year-old Macy, I believe it's Curran, if I said that wrong, I apologize. She is strutting into the new Guinness Book of World Records in 2021 after being confirmed as having the world's longest legs for a teenager and the world's longest legs for a woman. How long are her legs? They go all the way to the ground. All right.
That's how my legs work, too.
We got something in common.
I was reading it verbatim, and it was a bad joke.
Statesman.
She's 6'10". Macy's legs stretch almost 1.5 meters in length, says the Guinness
folks. Okay, give me English here.
Her left leg measures, 135 centimeters, so 53 inches, while her right leg measures 52 inches. Her left leg
is
longer than her right
leg.
Her legs make up 60% of her total height. So she is
6'10".
It's over three feet.
She's 6'10". Yeah, she has 3 foot legs basically.
She's bigger than little people. Some of them, her legs are.
That's crazy.
Oh, and she had to be a teenager because I got all excited about this.
She's
and
6'10".
Teenager.
Oh yeah, she's in Cedar Park. I imagine she plays a lot of sports. I mean,
is Vic Schaefer?
How is she not getting a scholarship from somebody to play basketball?
Jarrett Elliott?
No, or volleyball or something. That's crazy.
There's plenty of tall people who are
not athletic. Yeah,
incredibly uncoordinated.
They can't walk.
Although some of them make it to the NBA, like Sean Bradley. So right. I guess anything is possible.
She said, I was never bullied for my legs. She said, I was bullied because I was taller than everyone. Around sophomore year, I just stopped caring what people thought of me. And once I stopped caring, I wasn't affected by anything. I hope that tall women can see that height is a gift, that you shouldn't be ashamed of that you're tall. You should really embrace it.
Yeah.
Amen.
There she goes.
You should embrace whatever you got.
Right.
Whatever you look like.
This is true.
It's awesome.
I agree with her on that, man. It's a tough thing, and everyone gets it at different stages.
Yeah.
I know people at 14 that legitimately realize at that point, I'm not going to care about opinions that I shouldn't care about. That doesn't mean don't care about anything, but on stuff like that, you got to get over that and get through it. And once you do, it's liberating as hell.
Amen, brother.
I mean, at that point, you really are living.
Frees your soul.
It really does.
That's awesome. So 3 Central Texans recently finding their way into the Guinness Book.
Good for her.
Of World
Unbelievable.
Records.
Yeah.
And one of them is 17-year-old. That's awesome. The other ones are about to die or already dead, but this one's got a long way to go.
But they live a long time, though, so that's good.
Yeah.
I mean, Central Texas must live a long time.
Right.
Gotta go check that out. Life expectancy, baby.
Something in the water.
Mm-hmm.
Kills our athletic departments and lets people live longer.
I knew you were going to say.
With long legs.
Unreal.
A little shout out to Augie there.
There you go. I love that. Good stuff right there.
That's fantastic, too.
Man. Some pretty cool accomplishments for Central Texans. Let's get back into some Longhorn football. Let's start to preview Baylor a little bit. What do the Bears bring when they come to town this Saturday? Some matchups to look out for Texas and how the Longhorns can get back on track against BU this weekend. Next.